Cool. So, Father, we are just so grateful that we can gather together like this morning in such freedom to praise you, Lord, to worship you, to exalt you, to glorify your holy name. And I thank you, Lord, that as I share this message here this morning, as your word goes out, that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, that your word does not return void, but that your word accomplishes all that you have for it to accomplish. That the name of Jesus is exalted and glorified in this place. And we say thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. We just turn the gain down on this mic, thanks. There's a bit of feedback there. Okay. On this mic. Is that better? Can you hear me? There. All right. Never mind. Folks, I want to get straight into what I'd like to share here this morning. And you know, it's always interesting when you have a message to share. One of the challenges is giving it a name. Huh? So the title of my message today is The Three Fruit Bearing Branches. The Three Fruit Bearing Branches. How many of us know that story that Jesus told? Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about that here this morning. Now, I want to ask us a question. Do unbelievers see good fruit in your life? Think about that for a moment. Do unbelievers see good fruit in your life? Or do you and I just look the same as everybody else out there? There's no difference. They don't see Christ in us, the hope of glory. We just look the same. Okay? Folks, when unbelievers look at you, do they say, man, there's something different about that person. I want what they've got. In other words, is the fruit in your life big and juicy? Huh? Is it? Think about that for a moment. Does the fruit in your life actually attract other people? Are people attracted to you because they see something in you that's different? Or are you one of those Christians that nobody wants to be around? You know, you've got Christians like that. Huh? The world doesn't want to be around them. In fact, other Christians don't want to be around them. We don't have any of those in this church. Okay, I'm sure. Folks, I said earlier on, we have an enemy out there. Sorry, is there feedback here, or is it just me? Is there feedback?
Yeah.
A little bit. Just turn the gain a little bit down. Thanks, Nathan. On this channel, yeah. I said earlier on, we do have an enemy out there. That comes to?
Steal.
He comes to?
Kill.
He comes to destroy. And you know that he's got a bag of tricks. He's got a whole bunch of things, you know, that he wants to kind of get into our lives and interfere with us. And he will come with all types of things. He will come with sickness. It might be sickness. He will come with disease. He will come with temptation. He will come with habits. Habits that we can't seem to be able to, you know, sort out. Habits in our own lives. He comes with failure. He comes with relational hurt. Relational hurt. And he has all of these things to ensure that he achieves his objectives in your life and my life. And we had better be mindful of it. We need to know that he's there. Too many believers really have, you know, he has been so amazing in terms of getting believers to believe that he doesn't exist. And if you don't believe that he exists, man, you are a sitting target. As simple as that. Jesus said that he came to give us life and life in abundance. And folks, we as believers should be experiencing abundant life. We should be experiencing abundant joy even when the situations are not great. Even in the midst of a storm that you and I might be going through. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And there's a big difference between joy and happiness. We should be able to walk through, or how can I say, experience that joy no matter what we are going through. Amen. Are you full of joy? Are you full of joy? Even when the circumstances are not great, That word, circumstances, I want to tell us here today that as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are never under the circumstances. We are not under the circumstances. How can we be under the circumstances as God's children? We're not. So if you use that phrase, under the circumstances this and under the circumstances that, I want to suggest that maybe you remove that from your vocabulary, because we are not under the circumstances. Okay? God chose you. God chose me as well. He chose us to be those who go out and bear fruit. And the question is, are we bearing fruit? I spoke a little bit about this a week or two ago. Are we bearing fruit? Are we fruit-bearing people? Jesus said in John 15, verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit." He appointed us to go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Now, if you go and study this, just that little verse over there, John 15, verse 16, really what it says, that the keys to the abundant life, the keys to the abundant life is having abundant fruit. And if the keys to the abundant life is having abundant fruit, we need to know how to have fruit, and how to experience, get fruit, produce fruit. That's the word I'm looking for. Is that right? So maybe right here, there are questions that we should be asking ourselves when it comes to this thing of fruit. Maybe the first question is, what is the fruit that Jesus is talking about? Is it about the quality of fruit? Is it about the quantity of fruit? John 15, verse 1. Let me read the story to you, because this is what I'm going to be focusing on here this morning. Jesus says in John 15, verse 1, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you," Jesus says. Then he says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine," Jesus says, "and you are the branches." Now, I know I spoke about this a while back, but let's get this picture. Jesus says, "I'm the vine," right? "We are the branches." So remind yourself right throughout this morning's message that you are the branch. Every time I say the word branch, I'm speaking about you and I'm speaking about me here this morning. We are the branches. Tell the person next to you, "I'm a branch." Yeah, there we go. "I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing," Jesus says. "If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned." I'll talk about that verse just now. "If you abide in me," Jesus says, "and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." Wow, man, this portion of Scripture, it is so rich. It is so rich. And I want to spend a little bit of time just having a look at this. Folks, in this illustration that is given by Jesus here, there are three parts to the vineyard. Remember, we spoke about that, right? Verse 1 says, "I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away." So, here's the picture. in this this what Jesus is saying, we have the vine dresser, we have the vine, and we have the branches. So we know that God the Father is the vine dresser. Father God, He's the vine dresser in this vineyard. He's the husbandman. He's the vine keeper. He's the gardener. What does a vine dresser do? You got it. Boy, oh boy. Yes, he dresses the vine. He's the keeper. Am I right? A vine dresser is the keeper of the vineyard. And his job is to make sure that that vineyard produces the best possible fruit, you know, that whatever it can do. That's his responsibility. So God is the vine dresser. Jesus is the true vine. Okay, that is the trunk that grows out of the ground. Is that correct? And attached to that are the branches. Who are the branches?
We are.
We are the branches. And of course, as I say, believers are the branches. Jesus says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. Now, question. What do we know about the branches in this, what Jesus is saying? In other words, what do we know about us? First of all, the branches in the vineyard is the focus of the vine dresser's efforts. It's the vine dresser is going to focus on the branches, right? They produce the fruit. The branches produce the fruit. Now, the second thing that we see here is that the branches, I don't know if you've ever seen it, they're kind of lifted up in vineyards. They lift them up on like a trellis. Have you seen that? They lift these branches up. They lift them up. Why do they lift them up? In order so that the air, fresh air, can actually blow under them, making sure that those branches get a lot of sunlight, and also making sure that the vine dresser now has access to each branch so that he can tend those branches. And then the third thing is that the vine dresser cultivates each branch. The Father will cultivate each one of us. The vine dresser cultivates each branch so that it will produce much fruit. Now, I want to ask you a question. Well, let me first say this. Obviously, the branches need to be attached to the
vine.
They need to be attached to the vine. So now, what about the fruit? What about the fruit? There are three types of branches that we see in what Jesus had to say. He says, there are those branches that produce no fruit. Are you one of them? I'm just asking. He's talking about branches, right? Am I one of them? There are branches in this that Jesus says produce no fruit. Then there are branches that he speaks about that produce more fruit. And then there are branches that produce much fruit. So let's just now have a look at these three. This is what I want to focus on here this morning. But first, folks, what is the fruit that Jesus is speaking about? Because obviously the objective is that these branches produce fruit. Firstly, our good works, your good works, the good things that you do, those I would say would be the external things. Is that right? And then also the fruit of the Spirit. Those would be the internal things, because do you agree with me that having fruit in our life takes effort? Like that vineyard, there's a lot of effort that goes into the vineyard to ensure that there's good fruit. So there's effort that goes into us producing fruit, whether it's external or internal. We need to put effort into it. We put work into it. Now, I want to remind us of what the fruit, the internal fruit is. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And obviously, when we're speaking about love, if ever we try to define God, it would be that God is love. And people need to see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Right? They need to see that we are men and women that demonstrate love. So the fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy, obviously, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Peace, The word talks about that peace that surpasses all understanding, even when you are going through trials and difficulties, that you still are able to experience that peace. Patience, kindness, that is just love in action. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, against such things there is no law. Now I want to speak about us. We're going to talk about these three branches here today. Firstly, the first branch that Jesus mentions is the branch that bears no fruit. No fruit. And I trust, folks, there's none of those branches in this church. Okay. Am I right? Some people are blinking at me. Right. Now, it's interesting because Jesus says in verse 2 of John 15, he says, every branch in me. Now, I want to stop right there. Isn't this interesting? Because Jesus says, in me, who's Jesus speaking to? Jesus is speaking to believers. Jesus is not speaking to unbelievers here. He is speaking to you and I. And he's saying to you and I that there are some branches that don't produce fruit. Every branch in me, he says, that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, what does he do? He prunes it. Why? That it may bear more fruit. That's a more fruit branch. So folks, some branches, I said, you know, they lifted up on those trellis things and so on. Some branches there, they're there to support the branches. They might fall off. It might be as a result of rains. Maybe it's raining. Maybe there's some winds just come up and blow those branches off those things. Okay? And what will happen, it will stunt the growth. If you just, that branch fell off and just lay in the mud there and was never cared for, it's really not going to produce too much. Is that right? So does now the vine dresser, who's the vine dresser? God, does the vine dresser in the vineyard come and cut those branches off that are lying on the ground? Of course he doesn't. Of course he doesn't, right? And that answer is a big, big no. It really is a big no. Remember again that we are the branches in the story. So the vine dresser, who is God, you know what they do? They go and they take a bucket of water. And they start to wipe those branches and they start to wipe the leaves and, you know, kind of clean them up and then lift them back onto their trellis. Why? Because they want those branches to produce fruit. He cleans them. He cleans them and he places them back where they were on that trellis. Now, once again, once he's done that, they are able to receive the sunlight, they're able to receive the breeze blowing under them. The vine dresser has access to being able to prune them and so on. And folks, God, like the vine dresser, he lifts up his children. We are the branches. He lifts up his children that are not producing fruit. He will lift them up. He doesn't chop those branches off. He lifts them up. He nurtures them. Nurturing them. He places them in a surrounding and in an environment that is going to be really good for that branch to start to produce fruit. And how does God do this? I'm so pleased you asked that question. You know how he does it, right? He places those branches, or he places, we are the branches, in relationships with other believers. Relationships with other believers. That's the answer to the question. And folks, we need each other to be able to produce good fruit. It's as simple as that. You can't be alone. A lone ranger, well, I don't go to church. I watch Dubedeb on channel Babap on Sunday mornings in my flip-flops and my t-shirt, and that's me. And I don't interact with Christians, and I don't like Christians. You know those people, right? I need to say, folks, this is not scriptural. We need to not neglect the gathering together of the saints, because we need each other. We need other believers. We need people to speak into our lives. We need to have relationships with people that are also focused on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. People with different giftings, people with different talents and skills and so on that we can interact with. Why? So that other people can assist us in our growth, in our walk with the Lord. And you know what it's called? The church. It's called the church. It's called the family. We are the family. We are the family of God. We at His Way Church are called the family. Family of God. Huh? A Christian now, let me say this, and of course, this is not going to apply to any of us, but I need to tell you what the Word says. A Christian that produces no fruit is a miserable Christian. How's that word? Carefully selected word there. How do I know that? How can you say that, Dave? Well, I'm not saying. Let me tell you what Paul says. Okay, this is Paul when he wrote to the church in Corinth. This is 1 Corinthians 3 verse 2. Paul says, I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. I had to give you baby food. I couldn't give you a big steak and eggs and chips. I couldn't give that to you, okay, because you don't know how to chew it. You don't know what to do with it. He says, even now, you are not yet ready. Folks, I want to tell you something. This is part of the problem with the church. That there are Christians that have been Christians for 40 years, and you still have to give them milk. And the dummy. 40 years. Oh, but I've been a believer for 40 years. Yeah. And you haven't grown in 40 years. You have not made the decision to read the Word of God and be a doer of the Word of God. You've gone and you've done your own thing. You're saved. You're born again. You're a child of God. But you have not produced any fruit. 40 years. And they will argue with you. You know people like that. Okay. Listen to what he says. Well, I've read that. Okay. He lands up, he says, well, I have to just give you milk and a dummy. Yeah? So that, you know, kind of grow you. And by now, in actual fact, if you read on, he says, by now you should actually be teaching other believers. You should be mentoring other people, you know, that's in the kingdom. Folks, we must be ready for solid food. Amen.
Amen.
Remember, the Holy Spirit, this is so amazing, that the Holy Spirit will never force Himself upon us. He's never going to force Himself upon us. Right? He's gentle. The gentle Holy Spirit. It's like a dove, you know. You know, if there's something too much of a... how do I explain this? The dove just flies away. Is that right? Does that make sense? The dove says, I'm out of here. Okay? It's not going to hang around with all the stress. So the Holy Spirit will never force Himself upon us. So therefore, producing fruit is about you and I making a decision to produce fruit. It's not going to happen unless we do it, make that decision. That's why I say, many people, I'm not saying they're not saved, folks, but you know them. Born again, yes, they're born again, and they go to church every Sunday. Huh? That's it. How's your relationship with the Lord? Are you, you know, hearing from the Lord? Is the Lord guiding you by His Spirit? And Paul says, no, man, there's too many of you guys. I have to, you know, give you milk. Folks, God wants you to know that true joy in our lives comes from producing fruit in our lives. Okay? And we must choose. It's a decision we make to do it God's way. Obviously, what I'm exposed to so often is, you know, people, you know, in the church, they cherry pick. Oh, I like this scripture. I can do that. Oh, I like this. And, you know, we cherry pick. This, no. I don't like that. And I don't like this. But I do like that. Folks, It's not a case of what you and what I like, and what you don't like and what I don't like. What does the Word of God say? We need to apply God's Word in our lives, because we are preparing ourselves for an eternity that we're soon going to be moving into. We really need to be ready for that. So we must choose to do it God's way. Now, what is the third branch? Oh no, the second branch. I'm only on the second branch. Am I on the second one? Okay, yes I am. Okay, the next branch is the more fruit branch. The more fruit branch. Listen to this. Chapter 15, verse 2. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes. What does that word prune mean? Man, yeah. And pruning is ana.
Yeah.
Huh? How many of you know that when the Lord starts to prune us, it's uncomfortable? And it's sometimes, you know, we don't want to go through that stuff. But we need to go through that so that we can be pruned and become those who are doers of the Word of God and allow the Lord to develop us as believers. So pruning means that, you know, it's cleansing, it's purging, it's cutting away stuff that shouldn't be there. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes. This is a vine dresser. That it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you, Jesus says. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself. Have you seen it? You've got the vine over here and the branch over here and it's broken off. Is that going to produce? Of course it's not. There's going to be no fruit on that branch. And Jesus said so, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Then he says, neither can you unless you abide in me. Folks, always. We are living in very, very fragile times at the moment. And folks, you know, outside of the Lord, there's nothing. And we need to make sure that our walk with the Lord is the walk that we should be walking. Verse 3 says, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Remember I said this is Jesus speaking, writing to Christians. He says, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. And you might say, well, am I clean? First, because of one accepting Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, we are clean. How can you say that, Dave? Well, let me read Titus. I want to read Titus chapter 3, verse 5, and I'm going to read it from the message. This is what it says. He saved us from all that. It was all His doing. We had nothing to do with it. Now listen to this. I like the... It's quite animated. He gave us a good boss. And we came out of it new people. He gave us a good bath and we came out of it new people, washed inside and out by the Holy Spirit. And that is what happened when you and I put up our hands and we received Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We are cleansed, folks. We are clean. Isn't that wonderful? And now it's the start of the journey right there. So he tells us here that we are already clean and God is involved in you and I in bearing fruit. Don't forget that. So, now the vine dresser will make sure that the branches bear fruit. Is that his job, right? Not leaving the branches lying all over the place. He's not going to leave them. In fact, God's word says he will never leave us or forsake us. He won't leave you. He won't leave you or forsake you. So he will... You know, the vine dresser will come in with clean water and make sure that those branches are cleaned up. He'll make sure that the nice fresh breeze goes under those in the vineyard. And he'll make sure that the sunlight, there's enough sunlight on those branches. Why? To ensure that there is good fruit. Folks, God is the same for us. As the vine dresser is working in that vineyard, God, the vine dresser, is working us, the branches, so that we bear fruit. He is preparing us the best that he can for the eternity that we're going to be moving into one day. So we need to, maybe some of us need to actually surrender and say, Lord, no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And we surrender ourselves and we allow the Lord to do what he wants to do, because the big picture is eternity. So he's the vine dresser is going to nurture us to ensure that we are bearing good fruit. I want to ask you, think about the fruit in your life for a moment. What fruit are you producing? I have to ask myself this question. And we need to be honest with ourselves, folks. What fruit are you producing? What fruit is there in your life? And let me say this, that you know, deep down within your own heart, whether you are, what branch you are. Whether you are the much fruit, the no fruit, or the more fruit branch. We know that. Anyway, let me carry on. So, basically what, you know, the more that we are connected to the vine, the more that we abide in the vine, the more fruit, good fruit, we will produce. Jesus is the vine. The vine dresser, God, will assist. He's going to help you. He's going to help me. That we connected to that vine, and that the connection is really strong, that the nutrients from the vine, they go up the vine and then they go into the branches and ultimately produce fruit. So the vine dresser is going to not give up on you, he's not going to give up on me, but he's going to do whatever he can do to improve the conditions so that you and I bear more fruit, or much fruit. And then the last branch I want to speak about. Which one is that? The much fruit branch. Now, the much fruit branch is the branch that you and I should be. Is that right? Maybe tell the person next to you. Tell them, maybe we speak in faith. Tell them, I am a much fruit branch. The Lord heard you, eh? Folks, this is important, right? Because this is the branch that we should all, how can I say, strive to be. Verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch that withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burnt. Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Isn't that last verse interesting? By this my Father is glorified, if you and I are those who produce much fruit, it glorifies God. But it says more. Jesus didn't stop there. He also says, and also it proves that you are my disciples. How's that? Are we doing okay here?
Yes.
Folks, the better the union, right, of the branches to the vine, the better the opportunity for much fruit. Now, the more that you and I are plugged into the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's different ways that we do that. We know it's spending time in prayer, it's reading the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, you know, just applying these principles, applying the Word of God in our own lives. That will produce fruit, and will produce much fruit. So it's important that we remain connected to Jesus. Fruit will not be produced apart from the vine. Does that make sense? I mean, that's what Jesus is saying to us. So without Jesus, there is no abundance of love in your life. I'm telling you. Okay? This is the way we conduct it. These are the internal ones. Without being really plugged into Jesus, you are not going to demonstrate Jesus to a lost and dying world out there. Okay? There's not going to be much joy in our lives if we're not really grafted in. There's not going to be much peace in our lives. Patience. We're not going to be those that are patient. Not kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Not going to be very evident. Unless we are really connected and grafted in. Now, this brings me to this very important verse. Verse 6. How many of you read verse 6 and said, Let me read it to you. It says, if anyone does not abide in me, listen to this, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burnt. I need to say this because people use this line, this one verse out of context about people losing their salvation. This is not speaking about salvation. You look at the context of this. It's not speaking about salvation. This is speaking about fruit bearing. This is so important, folks. We need to, each one of us here today, need to have a very clear theology on can we lose our salvation?
No.
Okay, well, I'm just saying to us, can you lose your salvation? Is the answer to that question yes or no? I know about when we blaspheme the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about outside of that. Can you lose your salvation? And one of the most important things I believe as believers, we need to have clear theology on that, because if you think that you can lose your, and you are saved, if you think that you can lose your salvation, you have to be very careful that you don't start putting yourself under law, rules and regulations. Okay? When we mess up, because some people, I've just sinned. I'm going to hell. I repent. Okay, now I'm saved again. I messed up. Now I've repented. Okay. And folks, that's a very important question, and I've taught on this, what I see in the Word of God, and it's a very interesting topic because, some people have different interpretations of that. We might be sitting here today and we might not all agree on that. But I'm just saying, this particular verse is not speaking about salvation, it is speaking about fruit bearing. Okay, now what's interesting, because your fruits or the works that you and I do in life will be tested by fire. I'm talking about the works that we do. That's what Jesus says. The works that we do or the fruit in our lives will be tested by fire. In other words, how you and I lead our lives, how we conduct ourselves from the time that we get born again, these things are going to be tested by the fire. How do I know? Well, let me read it to you. This is Paul had to address this thing again in the church in Corinth. Looked like he was always trying to have to, sort those Corinthians out. But in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, and I hope I'm able to communicate this well to us here this morning. It says, "For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So the foundation that once you and I get born again, we are children of God. That Jesus Christ is the foundation that as believers we build on. Is that right? That we live out our lives according to what he says. Now it says, now if anyone builds on the foundation, so we build it on Jesus, and builds on the foundation with gold, that's good. We build on the salvation, on the foundation of Jesus with silver. That's good. We build on the foundation of Jesus with precious stones. That's good. The next one. We build on the foundation with wood. That's bad news. That's bad. I'll show you why in this verse. You build on the foundation with hay. That is bad news. You build on this foundation of Jesus with straw. In other words, these are people that are born again, but they just don't take Jesus seriously. They just live their lives as if, you know, Jesus is an add-on. Those are the wood, the hay, and the straw Christians. Let me read on. So, if any of you build your builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it. Now, he says, because it will be revealed by fire, your works and your good deeds and your life, everything that you've done is going to go through the fire. And let's just hope that it's silver, gold, and precious stones. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. Is this quite clear? The work, how we live our lives. The fruit. Remember I said earlier on, the fruit is basically the internal, external. These are the works, the things we do in our lives, the way we live our lives. He goes on to say, if the work that anyone has built on, these our lives, on the foundation, that's the foundation of Jesus, survives, he will receive a reward. I read this, because it will be revealed by fire. So our lives, all of these good things or bad things are going to go through the fire. So if the work that anyone has built on the foundation of Jesus survives after going through the fire, he, that person, will receive a reward in eternity. If anyone's work is burnt up, these are the people that got born again, they saved, they got born again, but they really just hung in there and their life was grass, hay, what's the other one? Straw, those things. Goes through the fire and is burnt up, he will suffer loss. Now watch what he says. Though he himself will be saved, that person will not lose their salvation. Right? Okay. But only it's through the fire. In other words, that if our life is the hay and the straw and so on, and it goes through the fire, Paul says that person will still receive salvation. But their rewards in eternity will be not much. Is this clear? Because, folks, this is so important for us as believers. So, basically, our fruit, which is our works, will be tested to determine the quality. Your life and my life will be tested. And if done through the vine, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we will survive, man, and there's going to be great rewards for us. The silver, the gold, the precious stones. And some people are going to arrive in heaven one day, depending on how we've lived our lives. And they're going to receive rewards because of the good fruit that they have produced. Other people are going to arrive in heaven one day, and they're going to receive small rewards. Maybe no rewards, I don't know. Because there is not much fruit in their lives. It's the way that they've conducted, the way people conduct their lives. So what I'm saying here is our rewards in heaven are determined by the way you and I live out our Christianity here on planet Earth. We need to be doing it properly, folks, in a way that we are doers of the Word of God and not just hearers of the Word. And so we need to be those that remain in the vine. Because if we remain in the vine, we become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. His thoughts become our thoughts. His desires become our desires. And remember that the Father is glorified by the branches that produce much fruit. So we are the branches. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. And so prove to be my disciples, Jesus. If we need to, how do we prove it? By bearing much fruit. In closing, can I close? Some of you are saying, yes. Michael, hurry up. That's all right. I had to get this off my chest. Because I'm speaking to me. And you just happen to be here listening.
Yeah.
So you can do with this message what you want, but this is for me. And whoever else wants to listen. So I want to ask you, are you a no-fruit Christian, a more-fruit Christian, or a much-fruit Christian? Just think about that. And I want to say, folks, if you know where you slot in there and changes need to be made, make them today. Make them now. Make them now. That you make a decision to become a doer of the Word of God and not just a hearer. You know, this is so interesting because we claim that we want true joy. Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I want true joy. Okay. We desire freedom. We desire freedom from bondage. We desire freedom from Satan. Is that true? That's good, you know, that we have these desires. But the question is not about our desire. It is rather our willingness to go out there and produce fruit. That's what it's about. Doers of the Word. Question. Do you desire joy in your life? And the rest of the fruits of the Spirit, of course. Verse 11 says, these things I've spoken to you. Jesus is talking to us today. I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. And folks, for us to receive this, we simply have to remain in the vine. Yes, that's it. It's not complicated. Just remain in the vine. To produce fruit that is going to be, that is going to last, and to ensure that we have rewards in eternity. It is up to you and I to make a decision. And again, I just want to remind us that our rewards in eternity are based and depend on how you and I live out this life. Once we're there, it's not going to change. You can't change it. Amen.